Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine, of course, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. Dr. Mixon, how many years have you been doing this?
28 years.
28 years. Yeah. And he is a living, breathing poster boy of doing what we talk about on the show and what Longevity Clinics is doing with so many of our patients. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I started therapy when I was 49. And now I am at 77 and creeping up on 78.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There you go.
Doing okay so far.
Absolutely. And we have three clinics, so there's got to be one near you. We have a clinic, a longevity medical clinic in Tacoma. Yep. We've already had calls today from our patients in Tacoma. Also Kirkland and in Linwood as well. And we want to get you in. We want, no matter what your age, and we have some younger folks listening, I know, in their 30s and 40s. Mm-hmm. We even have patients in those ages. That's not too young to care about your health, right, Dr. Mixon?
Actually, I wish I had started in my 30s or early 40s, you know, because it's a lot easier to prevent damage than it is to undo it. And by the time most people come to us, they've got significant damage done. They've got the high blood pressure, the cardiac disease, their kidney function, their diabetes is developed. And I would love to see them before they have those problems, so that we can prevent them so they never get them.
Absolutely.
But to do that, I have to see them in their 30s and 40s, not their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
There you go. We want to see you now. We want to get you in, which is why we still do the two free tests for you. We call it a health analysis. It lets our doctors know what could be beginning and what you could be at risk for down the road. Things like diabetes, which is, what did you say, Dr. Mixon, by the time, one in three in our lifetime?
Center for Disease Control says that one American in three will be diabetic at some point before they die.
Wow.
Which is a big change. In the 1930s, it was one American in 147.
Mm.
And now it's one in three.
Wow.
And the human body has not changed since the 1930s. What's changed is diet and lifestyle.
Yes.
I mean, these are lifestyle diseases, and they can be avoided easily. They can be fixed with a lot more effort, but they can be fixed. About 7 out of 10 type 2 diabetics that come to longevity are no longer diabetic a year later. So, you know, that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But it means that a fair bit of damage has already been done before they come to us. And so I'd like folks to come as early as possible while they're still as healthy as possible so that we can make them even better. You know, when I started this clinic way back in 1997, I was fat. There's no nice way to say it. I was fat. I was round.
and Dr. Samira and I have seen the pictures, and we're like, that's not Dr. Mixon. Wait,
yeah,
those are his eyes, but that does not look like him.
Yeah, no, but that was me. I was big and round and soft. I could not have run around the block if my life depended on it. And now here I am at 77. And I can run and jump and leap and cavort, and my belly is flat and my muscles are strong. Yes, I've made a big change over the decades, but it would have been easier had somebody been able to start me on what I'm doing now when I was 40, 10 years before I got fat.
Mm-hmm.
That just would have been even easier. But yeah, we can tackle anybody. We've treated people starting therapy when they were in their late 90s,
mm-hmm.
And they get better. But the reality is, the less damage has been done, the better job we can do. So the younger and healthier you are, we can make you even better. If you're further down the road and you got more problems, we'll still tackle the project and you will get better than you are now, but not as good as if you had started with us 10 or 20 years ago. That's just the real world.
All right. Well, we want you to get in. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you know so much good information. And we care about your health. Dr. Mixon cares about your health. He's here every Saturday morning. You know he cares about your health.
Most Saturday mornings it is.
That's right, unless he's researching for more information to share with you. We want you to come in, get that free health analysis, which is a blood test. We'll find out what your A1C is. You hear that a lot. That is to find out if you are pre-diabetic or already diabetic.
That tells us what your average blood sugar has been for the last 3 to 4 months. So it doesn't tell me the peak. It doesn't tell me the valley. It tells me what the average has been over a long period of time.
There you go. And you may not, like I did not know because I was not told as it was slowly rising over the years until I was there. And it was like, what? Why didn't you let me know?
Yeah.
We want to get it and get it taken care of.
And we see that a lot. You know, people will come in with an A1C of, 5.3, 5.4 in their youth. And as the years are going by, it goes up to 5.4, 5.5, 5.6, 5.7, 5.8, 5.9. You're not considered a diabetic until it hits 6.5.
Okay.
And so many physicians ignore it until it gets up about 6.5. And they say, oh, look, you're becoming a diabetic. Well, that was the wrong time to tell the person.
Yes.
You had 10 years of warnings that it was starting to rise. Why not do something about it before you become a formal diabetic?
Absolutely. And we can help you with that. We've helped thousands of people here at Longevity. And that's just one of the things. You can also find out if you're at risk for things like dementia, sexual dysfunction, heart disease, blood tests, and the in-body tests that we do, plus the big lab panel can make such a difference. Now, the big lab panel is about $2,000 worth of lab work on your blood, right? I'm not saying this in doctor terms.
Right.
I'm not a doctor.
But you only pay
$595 for this.
Yeah, just under $600.
But boy, does
it couple grand.
Yes, it gives the doctor's information.
You get an extra hour with a doctor to go over it.
Yes.
When
was the last time you spent an hour with the doctor?
Yeah. because of my age, I'm supposed to get periodic, quote, Medicare exams. So I went in and got my little Medicare exam. The blood test they did on me was piddly compared to what we do. And I saw what they charged the insurance company for it. $875.
Wow.
For, $27 worth of lab work. It just drives me crazy.
Yes.
I have my own lab, so I can do it really cheap. And so I can get you thousands of dollars worth of lab work for a few hundred. And I do.
Yes.
My goal is to try to keep the cost of this program lower than anybody else in the country for the comprehensive program. We have people that charge less that do less. They do little piddle here. They do a little part there, here and there. But the comprehensive program we offer, nobody anywhere in America does it for the price we do it. And that's my goal. I want to take it to as many people as I possibly can. That means I need to keep the cost as low as I can while still providing a comprehensive service.
Absolutely. And here's what you do to come in, meet us, meet our staff, come to our our clinic and see us, get a feel for what we do and talk to the doctors. Take that free health analysis test. It's the first step in getting on your way to better health. Here's that number to call and you can do that right now. It's 1-866-86 Young. That's 866 86 Young. You can also go to our website. And while you're there, poke around. Check out all the videos Dr. Mixon has made. Get to know the staff and do a little bit of reading. And you also have a calendar there where you can schedule yourself online as well. Pick the day and the time that works best for you and also the clinic closest to you in Lynnwood, in Kirkland, or in Tacoma. All right. And go to lmclinic.com. That's the website, lmclinic.com.
And just as a note, I am told...
Yes.
By my techie people.
Yes.
That the new website should be up in the next week or two at the most. And the new video person, marketing person that I have hired full time is going to be here from the East Coast. They're going to be here for a month. And over the course of the next month, we're going to be shooting lots and lots and lots of new videos to put up.
Wonderful. And you'll have so many things, so many topics, so much good information for you. So we'll keep you posted on that as well. All right, Dr. Mixon, ready for another phone call?
Let's do it.
Okay, we are headed to Yelm right now. Chris is on the line. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. How are you folks?
We are doing well.
As always, Chris. If the scoundrels in charge find out how good we feel, they will tax it.
You know it.
So let's keep it secret, you know, just us.
All right, sounds good. Well, I'm dealing with chronic kidney disease, and I went to my nephrologist last week. He said that I'm operating at one-third of my kidney ability. That is, that my kidney is damaged, both kidneys. Innumerable number of stones was reported by my urologist, and it got me kind of scared, but, you know, I want to deal with it, of course. I don't want to just sit and worry about it forever. So, you know, I'm trying to make sure that I embrace the SOS diet, which is no sugar, no processed seed oil, and no salt. And so what else could I do to kind of, you know, preserve the function of my kidneys that I have left?
You want to make sure you've got good levels of polyphenols, such as resveratrol, quercetin, fisetin, those sorts of things. The kidneys are basically big bunches of very, very tiny interlocked blood vessels. That's where the exchange of, you know, just as the lungs, the exchanges of gases, and the kidneys, it's the exchange of proteins and electrolytes. It's there to keep our sodium, potassium, calcium, chloride, all of these things in a good range, even though we are flooding ourselves with, you know, hypo electrolyte fluids like water on a regular basis. And so when kidneys are going bad, what you need to think of is it says your blood vessels are going bad, the small vessels, because that's what they are, big bundles of very, very fine vessels that are doing this electrolyte exchange for us. And so things that improve vascular health, like the resveratrol and so on, those are things that we want to shoot for. I also see some biohackers claiming that their renal function has improved on rapamycin. I don't know if those claims are valid or not, because I've never seen a particular formal study in which they, you know, did a series of renal function studies on a large group of people, half on, half off the rapamycin. But it is one of those areas that we are being told in the kind of informal networks that some folks are seeing improvement in their kidney parameters.
What's your thought about vitamin K2 and D3?
Well, I think that the combination of D3 with K2 does a better job than either alone. They seem to be synergistic. They help each other work and do a better job. You know, on the one hand, way up here in the Pacific Northwest, where we don't get a lot of sunshine and where people hide from the sun when it does come out, you know, you'll see that on a sunny day, everybody's walking in the shade and wearing their hat. we get a fair bit of toxicity from people who take too much vitamin D3. If you get those blood levels up over about 125 or so, you can start getting kidney damage from your vitamin D. And so that's one of the reasons we check our patients' vitamin D at least twice every year. We check it every spring. We check it every fall to make sure that we are in a nice, robust, but not toxic range. And the K2 helps to protect you against the toxicity of very high doses of vitamin D.
All right. I know where your clinic is in Tacoma, so I think I'm going to be a new client pretty soon here.
Yes. Well, good idea, Chris.
Sooner is better. Now, we can't promise we're going to fix your kidney disease, though. You know, again, by the time you're down by two-thirds in your kidney function, you're a ways down the road. I wish we'd caught you 20 years ago. But we'll start where we are, and we'll do what we do.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, Chris. And you can call, too, with your questions for Dr. Jerry Mixon. He is live in the studio today. And here is the number to get through today. It's 1-800-465-8770. We have room for you in our call queue. 1-800-465-8770. Taking a quick break. We'll be right back.
Race is on, and here comes pride in the backstretch. Heartache going to the inside. My tears are holding back there, and I'm trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. Two love scratch for another sake. Race is on, and it looks like heartache, and the winner loses all.
And welcome back. This is Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, here with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Taking your calls, answering your questions, and we can talk with you, too. We still have quite a bit of time left on our show today. 1-800-465-8770. All right, Sandy is on the line from Enumclaw. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sandy.
Yes.
How can we help?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I called a couple times earlier about Relief Factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been taking it for 7 or 8 years, and it really works for me. But my question was, I went on a trip last spring in Europe, and for the first 2 days I was there, I forgot to take it.
Okay.
And I realized I had no pain, which at home, if I forget a couple days, I have a lot of pain. So I decided just not take it while I was over there, and I was fine. I had not the usual aches and pains. So when I got home, I thought, well, I'll try not taking it again. And I went a couple days, and I was right back to where I used to be with all the pain. So I have to take it now. Okay. But I'm wondering, what in Europe is different? Is it the food or the air, or what could caused me to have pain here and not Europe?
Where were you in Europe, just for fun?
What's that?
Where were you in Europe, just for fun?
Oh.
Spain, well, Italy, Greece?
Netherlands, Slovakia, Hungary, Germany, Austria.
Okay, so Central and Eastern Europe.
Okay, and probably right. quite mm-hmm. active and walking and mm-hmm. doing things
yeah.
and moving.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I don't know why you would decrease your inflammation slower there, but that's pretty obviously what was happening. You know, the thing that the Relief Factor does is each one of those four components decrease your body's production of inflammatory response to stresses and noxious stimuli. Generally, people will do well anywhere from 2 or 3 days to a week or so before the pain starts coming back, once they've taken it for a long period of time. And if you've been on it for years, you've done a nice job of suppressing your inflammation, and it took some period of time for it to build back up to a point that what we call the nociceptors, the nerve receptors that send pain signals to our brain, started getting stimulated. Now, What was different there? Or why were you producing less inflammation there than you were at home? Don't know. I'd have to be looking, I guess, at what were you eating different? What were you doing different? Were you more or less physically active there? You know, did you have a different breakfast, different lunch? Were you skipping meals? Or were you
eating
more, but just very different stuff?
I don't think I was eating more, and I was just about as active as I am at home. But some people have suggested it was the GMO, that they don't allow that in Europe, and maybe that's what's causing some of my inflammation here.
Maybe. It may be. I don't know. It's an interesting question, though. I kind of a fun one to investigate.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let me see if I can make myself a note for that one, too. I've already got one note this
morning. Okay, there we go.
Something to investigate. I'll see, at least do a cursory literature search and see if I can find a correlation between GMO and degree of inflammation produced.
Okay, that would be great.
Okay.
All right.
Again, my looking doesn't mind, you know. I know the scripture says, seek and ye shall find, but
right.
When it comes to the scientific literature, it's not always true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I have sought in vain many times.
And have not found.
That's right.
Oh, Sandy, thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. Great question.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. Very good. Our number to call, just like Sandy did and so many this morning, 1-800-465-8770. Headed to beautiful Fox Island, I have Dan on the line for you, Dr. Mixon.
All right. Let me finish this note. Okay. Now I can talk to Dan.
There
Hello,
you go.
Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, gang. I'm 76 years old. I'm real active. I go to the Y 5 days a week, 3 HIIT classes, 2 spin classes, and I take a lot of supplements that Dr. Mixon recommends.
Okay.
My question is, I've got 3 questions. One is, I have taken during 2020 2 Modernas, a booster, and I took my flu shot. Then after all of the Dr. Fauci debacles and everything else, I'm not taking anything. Do you recommend for someone that's very healthy, great diet, good exercise or whatever, to take a flu shot now?
Good question. I have not had my flu shot this year. I probably should have. In fact, my wife just tweaked me about it a day or two ago. We were walking along and she said, hey, have you had your flu shot? I'm not avoiding it because, you know, I disapprove of them or anything. I took it last year. Probably will get around to taking it this year, although we don't have a lot of time left in the flu season. We're getting kind of late. You know, flu kills young people and the very elderly. If you're lean and fit and exercising and having good supplementation, if you catch the flu, you are unlikely to die from it. You may wish you would die for a day or two, but you won't. You know, you're more likely to just be miserable. I guess it depends on are you anxious to avoid the misery of the flu, which you may or may not catch this year. And
I very rarely get sick. I mean, even if I do get the flu virus, whatever you want to call it, it may last 4, 5, 6 days, and that's it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it's like I have not taken the more recent COVID immunizations because I caught COVID, 2 months ago or 3 months ago. And, it, you know, for me, the COVID was 3 days of a runny nose, and that was it. So I'm not afraid of it. Flu, last time I caught the flu was probably 15 or 20 years ago, and God, I was miserable. I hated it.
Yes.
So I guess I got more of an emotional aversion to the flu than I do to COVID because my memories of the flu were so much worse than my memories of the COVID. But yeah, this is one of those, we make our decisions, we take our chances. You know, the flu vaccines in any given year, in a good year, they're about 85% protective for us. In a bad year, they're 25, 30% protective for us. And it all depends on, are the strains of flu that they've picked to include in this year's vaccine, the strains of flu that actually come through the population that we live in? And they don't know in advance. They're making educated guesses. And some years, their guesses are pretty good. And some of the years, their guesses really stink. And I don't know yet whether they've got a good or a bad guess this year. I know they're doing their best. They're trying. But, you know, it to some degree is the luck of the draw. I think that if I hear that the influenza is running through our local population, and I realize at that moment that, oh, my goodness, I forgot to take my flu shot, I'll probably stay away from everybody for a while. Do my best to quasi-isolate. In reality, that's not tough for me. It just means I stay in my office and work more. So, on the other hand, I may take my wife's nagging to heart and go get my flu shot. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. So I know that's not much help for you, but you know that's the real world. Influenza vaccines are highly variable in their effectiveness from year to year. And we don't know till we're in the middle of the epidemic whether the vaccine this year is good or not. So,
okay, what's the drawback then?
Sore arm for a day or two. If you get the shot, you may get sore. I mean, anytime you break the skin, infections and so on are always possible. There's rare people who have allergic reactions because the immunization is. The virus is grown in eggs, and so people with egg allergies, you know, probably should avoid it. But it's relatively innocuous. You know, if the flu vaccines have been around for decades and decades and decades, and we have not found any serious adverse impact in the vast majority of the population, unless you've got an allergy. So for me, it's sixes. How worried am I about catching the flu in any given year?
And Dr. Mixon, okay, how long does that last, the flu vaccine? I used to think, oh, I'm good for a year.
No,
that's not the case.
You're good for 5 or 6 months.
Okay.
On a good year, you're good for 5 or 6 months. The influenza is an RNA virus, just like COVID. And RNA viruses mutate very quickly. They change. And we do not make long-term immunity to them. We make better immunity if we catch the virus itself. But the vaccines tend to give us about 5 or 6 months of protection. That's why they give the flu vaccine in October, November mostly, because now we're coming into flu season. It takes about 2 weeks for the vaccine to become effective. So if you get your flu shot today, you're not protected next week. You will be protected towards the end of this month. And at some point, it gets late enough in the year and late enough in the season that you say, oh, what the hell?
And if you already have the flu and you go in to get the vaccine, it's not going to clear it up, right?
It doesn't. And if you get exposed to the virus within the next week or two, the vaccine's not going to have had time to build enough antibody to protect you. So you're still going to catch the flu if you get exposed in the next week or so after the shot. And then, you know, there's always a little bit of influenza that hangs around after the so-called flu season. And once in about 5 to 6 months, you've lost 50% of your protection. And so then if you get exposed to the virus, you still catch the flu despite getting the shot. So RNA viruses just are what they are. We try to deal with them. But that's pretty much the fact pattern for influenza.
Okay, thanks. I've got two other questions if you have time.
Oh, good. Okay, yes, well, please stay on the line,
hold
Dan.
On. We got to take a break. You hear the music?
We'll be right back. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We will take a short break and then be back with more of your questions. Dan, you hold the line. Don, you stay there as well. And Joe, we'll be right back with more right here on Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. Stay right there. We're back with more Leading Edge Medicine and lots of calls coming up here before the end of the show at 10 o'clock. So, Dan, you had some more questions for Dr. Mixon.
Yes, rapamycin.
Okay. What about it?
Do you give rapamycin at your clinic?
Yes.
To the patients?
We use a fair bit of it. Yeah. The rapamycin is... is the only medication we now know of that has extended lifespan in every animal in which it's ever been tried. Everything from worms and fruit flies to mice and rats and dogs and primates. The only one we're not sure of yet is people. We are getting good indications that people are doing better on rapamycin. But quite frankly, nobody has done a longitudinal study on how long those people who take rapamycin live, nor which dosing regimen or doses are most effective at helping people live longer. So there's an enormous amount of ignorance. That said, virtually every longevity researcher that I have come across on planet Earth is taking rapamycin themselves, including me. So,
what does it usually cost, doctor?
depends. You can get generic rapamycin for $5 or $6 a milligram. So, you know, if the average sort of dose is about 4 to 6 milligrams a day at $5 or $6 a piece, you know, you're $30-something, $35 per month. I'm sorry, per week. So, you know, it comes out to be $100, $140, $150 a month. Or if you get the generic Sirolimus, not the generic, the branded version, you can spend five times that. So, you know, it all depends where you get it and how much confidence you have in the quality of what you're getting. So, you know, I'm using a generic version myself, but you know, I know research who say no, they will only take the branded version because they have no faith in the generic.
So, okay, great. Last question is your mental factor, that pill, is that out yet?
No.
Oh, Think Factor.
Think Factor, yeah.
Think Factor,
yeah.
There you go. Thanks.
And that one is just frustrating the hell out of me. I am now told, and I hope that the information is accurate, that it should be in our warehouse by the middle of December, which means we'd probably start marketing it by about the first of the year. I was hoping this would be in the market by last April, but there have been problems with the bottle testing and sizes that we had to get through the government people. Then there were label issues, and now the last holdup has been a QA, quality assurance issue with the lycopene. Apparently, it was not being stable enough for us. You know, if we put it in our pills, we want it to last long enough so that it's not losing potency by the time you buy it and we ship it out of the warehouse and you're taking it. So we've had a series of impediments, but I am now assured that the problems are all behind us and that we're right now in the middle of stability testing. And assuming the stability testing comes out positive, it'll be in the warehouse by mid-December.
So okay,
I'm crossing
thank you. I'll
my
be
fingers
looking for
and
that.
Toes and holding my breath. And
that's what you're doing with those toes.
That's right.
All right. Thank you
okay.
for the questions,
thank
Dan.
You.
You're welcome, sir.
Right All on. Right. Okay, continuing to, we're headed to Des Moines now. We have Don on the line. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, Don.
Hello, Don.
Good morning. Hey, Dr. Mix, real quickly. There was an article in Wall Street Journal about a year ago, and I've been a longevity patient for a couple of years, so it stood out. But it was discussing the popularity of this new concept within the American medical industry, longevity clinics.
Yes.
And it went on to explain that the cost can be anywhere up to $100,000. So the value yes. I'm receiving from your clinics is incredible.
Yeah. We have the lowest cost comprehensive program of this type in the country. The average cost for a clinic that does what we do is about $30,000 a year. And you're right. There are guys on Manhattan that are charging $100,000 a year plus for the same services that we're giving you for about $5,000. So, yeah.
Big difference.
Okay. So my question is, I recently encountered an article, NAD Plus.
Yes.
And it's discussing the potential benefits of longevity. Do you have an opinion on that supplement?
Yeah. Nicotinamide is an important component. And it is one of those things that we are using some of my docs pretty aggressively and some of them a little less aggressively. And part of the issue is cost. As you've mentioned, cost for the clinics. Well, the cost of the supplements can be quite significant. For instance, nicotinamide riboside, which is the most common way to get nicotinamide in or NAD plus into your mitochondria, is about $130 to $150 a month just for the supplement. On the other hand, we've got Dr. Pentland at our clinic that is giving some people intravenous nicotinamide, the NAD, and getting very nice results. But once more, when we're doing IV therapies, the cost is a little higher. We're trying our best to find a good way to get it through the skin or through the gut. But most of the forms of nicotinamide we're using, like NMN, they're just not cheap. And there's a wide variation in quality. And the NMN, there's actually now a company that is experimenting and have told the FDA that if they can establish that it's good for a particular disease they're working on, they want it to become a prescription drug. And, of course, would jack the cost up about 10 times. So, yeah, raising NAD levels is important. The question is how to do it. And personally, I've been using the nicotinamide riboside because we've got good data for it. And as said supplements go, the trade-off between effectiveness and cost is pretty good.
Are your docs trained in the administration of that?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They all know about NAD. The question has always been, which of the many potential ways to get it into your bloodstream is the most cost-effective for patients? And there are differences of opinion on that among a large segment of the medical profession. So I've got doctors with a variety of opinions. And, when I know that I can say this is the truth, knuckle down and use this method, I do so. But this is one of those that I can't give them assurance that any one particular method is the best. If and when I come to said conclusion, I'll impose it on people. But until I'm confident, I just say, okay, guys, we all know NAD is one of those things you want in your people. Now, use your best judgment of how to get it there. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, very much so. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you for the call, Joe.
Bye-bye.
Dan. Let's see. We had Dan. Then we had Don. Now we're going to talk to Joe.
Now we're talking to Joe.
Yes. Okay. Joe, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Oh, hi. Yeah. Thank you for having me on your program. And I've been dealing with dizziness. Dizziness connected with passing out, but I didn't really bother me too much. I was passing out like once a year. And I go to the hospital. The doctors can't find anything. So then I don't want to go anymore to the hospital because they do too many tests on you. But anyway, so now I've been noticing that I'm getting it more. And when I talk with people my age in their 70s, they have dizziness. And I'm an active person. And I don't like in the morning waking up to, you know, if I turn my head too fast, mm-hmm. I get dizzy. And so I ask what people do and they say so you get up and walk slowly and kind of march to help your brain. And I'm thinking, that sounds good. And my MD, he doesn't really know anything. So to help.
And right. There's more and more people. This is not a statement I want to hear. My MD doesn't know anything.
Anything. No. To help.
So, yeah. So he knows a lot, but not in this dizziness problem, I'm saying. Yes, I really like my MD. But anyway.
Good.
So I'm just saying this is something that I think, you know, my parents weren't dizzy, so, and they never, you know, my relatives weren't at this age, and of course, I'm just wondering if this is something to do with a diet or lack of.
Well, several things that come to mind. You said that when you turn your head quickly, you get dizzy. That screams ear to me, inner ear or middle ear. So I would start by seeing a ear, nose, and throat guy and explain that when you turn your head quickly, you get dizzy because there may be some things they can do about that. And if it's the balance mechanism in your ear, you know, that can be addressed.
If I already know that I have an inner ear dysfunction, how can you work around that with? Can you have meds that help that?
Sometimes there are medications that help. Sometimes if you're getting worse, it turns out it can be a blood pressure problem. It can be a viral infection. So you just want to make sure that the mechanisms in your ear are as healthy as can reasonably be. Then you want to, if that turns out not to be the cause, you want to look for other things. Is your blood pressure dropping out for some reason? Are some of your medications or some of your supplements causing you to get what we call postural hypotension, in which you stand up and the blood pressure drops and your head doesn't get enough blood all of a sudden? I had that happen to me. I was getting so dizzy that I thought I would fall down at times, and it turned out it was my Tadalafil dose. The same dose that I did very well on for a long while, as I was changing my fitness and really pushing my exercise routine, was now dropping my blood pressure too much. And so I had to cut my supplement or my Tadalafil down to about half the dose I'd been on. So it can be medications, it can be supplements, it can be inner ear issues. And so really somebody just needs to go down the list and evaluate it. You know, I wasn't sure, for instance, that if it was maybe it was my blood sugar. Yeah, I only eat two meals a day. Was I getting too low a blood sugar? Well, so I went to the store and I bought a continuous blood sugar monitor, stuck it on my arm, and followed my blood sugar 24 hours a day for a day or two, and decided, nope. Even when I got dizzy, my blood sugar was just fine. So then the question was, okay, now am I going into and out of atrial fibrillation? Well, it turns out my Apple Watch has a component that will follow
mine.
So
that's good.
So I just, you know, I use my Apple Watch to say, okay, nope, when I get dizzy, it's not atrial fibrillation. My heart rate is doing just fine. So I know it's not sugar. I know it's not heart rate. Then I started running through my supplements and so on, and I said, well, okay. Testosterone is a vasodilator. Am I dropping my blood pressure out from my testosterone. Well, no, turned out that wasn't the case because I used less testosterone for a few days. Then I said, I wonder if it's tadalafil. That one can drop your pressure. I dropped the dose of the tadalafil. Symptoms went away completely. So a nice systematic, what are all the things that could cause it? And you work your way through the issue.
So it's just not a simple vitamin.
I wish it was. This vitamin always comes to that symptom. Nope. Life's not that simple, sweetie.
Okay, well, I will start that. I'll start that with I'm pretty sure I have a dysfunctional ear problem.
All right.
And I already know that, but I just thought there was something else I could be doing in the morning when that comes on.
Yeah, well, but see, the time of day, when it happens, what you're doing when it happens, all of the information needs to get put together by somebody that's really expert in the field. And, I'm not. Again, I'm the longevity doctor. An ENT guy is the one to look at. But in the process of running, of course, I know doctors in every field. So I talk to doctors about this. I talk to friends about that. And we worked our way through it.
Sounds
take
good.
Care.
All right,
young lady.
So
very good. Thank you for the call, Joe. One last call for you, doctor, today. Okay, we will head to, let's see, where are we going? To Des Moines. That has been the popular place today. Kathy is on the line. Welcome, Kathy.
Hello, Kathy.
Oh, hi there, Dr. Mixon and Gannett. Earlier, someone called in and talked about the kidney function had decreased to one-third.
Yes.
And he mentioned doing the usual things like not having sugar and reducing salt. Mm-hmm. My doctor said my kidney function is like decreasing, but it's not a concern. But you know how they don't worry about things until you're bad. Yeah.
I do know.
Yeah, and so I looked at my numbers, and like my creatine is 1, it's trending up.
Okay.
And then the bun is 17, and that's trending down.
So the BUN is blood urea nitrogen. If that's trending down, that's a good sign. Your creatinine, if it's only 1, that's not a problem at all. That's okay.
Well, it was 1.02.
If it gets around 1.3 or so, I'll get concerned. But at 1.0 anything, I'm happy.
Okay. Because I tend to eat a lot of salt. And I just eat salt sometimes straight. I just crave it.
Okay.
I was kind of concerned when I heard that.
Yeah. I used to have a horse that really enjoyed salt. But I just bought him a salt lick and, put it up on a fence post. He did fine.
Well, and I checked sodium level, and it said normal, 137. And it's trending lower, just slightly lower, over 5 years. Okay. Everything's 5 years trending.
Sure. I'm not too worried about that, really. Here's the situation. Everything goes downhill with age. All right. Just the fact of life. Our bones are not as strong. Our muscles are not as strong. Our skin is not as thick and flexible. Brain function slows down. We don't think as fast as we get older. Different areas of cognition start to drop off. We call that age-related cognitive decline. You don't run as fast. You don't lift as much. You're not as flexible. So kidney function is also something that tends to decline with age. As long as your GFR, your glomerular filtration rate, is over 60, and as long as your creatinine is down, 1 to 1.1, 1.2, you're in fine shape. If your blood urea nitrogen is down there below 20, I'm smiling. Just judging from your voice, because our voices change with age, you sound like a lady of some mature years. I like that better than old, don't you?
Yeah.
I am a gentleman of some mature years.
Absolutely.
So, But your numbers are not really worrisome. Yes, they are going downhill. Yes, you are aging. So what?
Mm-hmm.
I deal with that all the time at longevity. It's what we do for a living. You know, we try to make you as strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, and happy as we possibly can. And, so if you're not one of our patients, come on in and let us help you. We'll do everything we can to make you strong and fast and lean. But the numbers you're giving me right now don't worry me terribly.
So, okay. Chill. And I was reading,
go through the day smiling.
It sounds like, you know, kind of the number one solution to things these days is to build muscle. And that's kind of what they recommended.
Yes, and it is. What we now know is that we have two powerful opposing forces in our bodies. On the one hand, we have fat, and fat is a destructive gland. It's actually kicking chemicals out into your body that accelerate brain loss, degeneration of our joints, immune system going downhill, cancer formation. Muscle, on the other hand, kicks out over 600 different proteins to lower your risk of cancer, to lower your risk of heart disease, to lower your risk of dementia, to lower your risk of diabetes. So the more muscle you've got and the more intensely and frequently that muscle is worked, and balance that against the lowest level of fat that you can manage, that is the way we want to go. And one of the things we do at Longevity in men and women is we adjust your hormone balance so your body preferentially makes muscle instead of fat.
Yeah.
Because when you were young, your hormone balance said, yes, be lean, be strong, be fast. And as you get older, those hormones are shifting towards, hey, slow down, chub out. You know, sit more.
Chub out.
That's just the way Mother Nature designed it, because once we are old enough that our children can have children, from a biological standpoint, we've done our job. Our job, once our kids can have kids, is for us to get slow, fat, weak, dumb, and die, get out of the way and quit consuming resources the next generation needs. The only thing wrong with that plan is I don't like it, neither do you. So so we do our best to stymie Mother Nature, okay?
Okay. Okay. Right. Well, I really appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you for that. Wow, a lot of different things today that we've discussed, yeah. Dr. Mixon. Wow. The last thing I'd like to take just a couple minutes before the show is done, Veterans Day.
Yes.
Yes, Dr.
Is that
Mixon.
Tuesday, I think.
Well, they have it, you know, as a holiday on Monday.
I know.
So Veterans
We don't
Day
work on Monday because of Veterans of Day the, on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, yes. So, and you were a veteran, so thank you for your service.
You're welcome, ma'am.
Yes, and if you'd like to say a few words, I'd love it when you do, because it means a lot to you.
Well, it does.
Yes.
It does. You know, for me, Veterans Day is remembering friends who were brave, tough young men who never got a chance to grow old like me. These were my friends that I served with. I was a combat paratrooper with the 173rd Airborne, emphasis on the word combat in our particular unit. We were proud of being the most lethal things in the jungle, and our job was to find them and kill them, and their job was to kill us instead. And we both did our best to do our jobs. In one way, I'm very grateful for it. It's the only time in your life that a man will honestly have other men standing on either side of him who will literally die to protect him. And I gave them the same honor and respect. Nobody was coming past me to hurt my buddies.
That's right.
And, you know, you have to be proud to have done it. You have to respect those that are doing it now.
Yeah.
And be grateful that our country still makes young men and women that are willing to put their lives on the line for us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for your service, Dr. Mixon. And we will see you next week. It's Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. Have a great rest of your weekend, perhaps a long weekend for you. And we'll be back with more next week right here. And hopefully Dr. Samira Umat will join us.
She should be with us.
Yes, yes. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next time. And thank you for listening.